I would call your attention to Acts chapter 2 and to the words that we find in Acts chapter 2, verse 39. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. This morning, I'll be preaching to you on the subject of baptism. And our sermon is entitled, One Baptism. Now, that title comes from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, and there he reminds us that our salvation has bound us all up with our Savior as one. And he puts it rhetorically in this way, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all, and in all. And so, whether Jew or Gentile, male or female, we are all to be given the one same baptism that initiates us into Christ in that same way. There is one entrance, and it is by one baptism. And by extension and the application of the Word of God, I would like to use that phrase to remind us that there is only one baptism. There is not two kinds of baptism. There's not adult baptism and infant baptism as two separate kinds of baptism. What makes them different is the one receiving the baptism, not the baptism itself. And this is a matter of great importance, because this not being understood, we may, in some ways, unintentional perhaps, begin to migrate to an idea of baptism and the baptism of children that segregates it from what baptism truly is. And that happens in a number of ways, reducing it, on the one hand, to but merely a dedication, where we are just simply dedicating our children to the Lord, or it may be looked upon in another way, that baptism is an initiatory sacrament in which regeneration itself is conveyed by the sacrament. Both are in themselves serious errors. And when we look at the scripture, what we find is that there is a continuity between baptism as the sign of the new covenant and circumcision as a sign of the old covenant. And that what has changed is not the way of salvation. What has changed is not the promise. These are one. There is one promise throughout the whole Bible. And we've seen that when we come to the letter to the Hebrews and how he confirms these things. The same promise that was made to Abraham is the promise that is extended to us as Gentiles, so that what God promised Abraham, and Paul making the argument in Galatians says, that's the very blessing of the Spirit of God himself. And that all that was promised to Abraham is now ours as children of God and sons of Abraham. The promise hasn't changed. The way of salvation hasn't changed. Were you able to catch these things as you listened to Romans 4 and the argument that the apostle was making when he said that Abraham was circumcised in believers' circumcision? Whoa. It was believers. Yeah, that's right. It was believers' circumcision. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. And so Abraham believed. Paul is making this argument in Galatians 4. Paul believed first, and then he was circumcised. And that circumcision was a sign and seal of the righteousness which he had by faith. And so then, of course, he said to Sarah, no sense circumcising the baby, because it's believer circumcision. No. The promise was, this promise is to you and to your children. And that promise continued through. On the day that we're reading of in Acts 2, the people of God are gathered because of this amazing event. There was a sound. There was a commotion. And there was fire distributed over the head of the disciples. And the apostles emerge telling the wonderful works of God in languages that everybody in the crowd could hear and understand. Real languages. Jesus is risen from the dead. Forgiveness that is promised to Israel has been given. Death has been conquered. The grave has been conquered. The evil one has been conquered. Jesus is alive and reigning at the right hand of God. The Son of David is sitting on David's throne as was promised. The Holy One did not see corruption. And this living Savior has poured out the baptism of the Holy Spirit that was promised to Abraham, your father. You killed the Messiah. These people were cut to the heart. They were destroyed. They were pierced through and crushed. And in an open repentance, in anguish, they cried out, men and brethren, what can we do? What shall we do? Just like the Philippian jailer. He cried out to the apostle Paul. And Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved, you and your household. And he not only baptized the Philippian jailer, he baptized his household. And we see that repeatedly in the book of Acts. These men and women cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? what shall we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Baptism being a sign and seal of faith and repentance, being accepted by God, stamped with the Holy Spirit and with his promise, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And now our text. Why would that be so? He gives the reason. Our text is the reason why they should rush to be baptized, why they should turn away from their sins, why they should acknowledge, we have rejected Israel's Messiah. And what is that? What is that reason? Well, the verse begins with the word for, verse 39. For, that is, for this reason, the promise is yours. What God promised, he's now doing. It's your promise, but he doesn't stop there. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, whom the Lord our God will call to himself. The promise is to them and to their children. Now let me ask you, as those Jews stood there, what do you think they heard? Don't you think they heard the consoling word of the promise to Abraham? I haven't forsaken you. The promise is to you and to your children. And here is your Savior living. You repent. He'll forgive. He'll save you and your children. The promise is for you and your children. Now, who do you think was baptized that day? If they said these Jews, as they cry out, what can we do? And they were told that they were to repent and be baptized because the promise is for them and their children. Who would be baptized? It would be, they would be baptized and their children would be baptized. And there is a fundamental principle, a basic theological shorthand that you can remember here that will help you. And that is, to whomever the promise belongs, baptism is to be given. To whom the promise belongs, baptism is to be given. God didn't say to Abraham, God didn't say to us in the New Testament, I will give you promises as adults and different promises to your children. Our children receive the same baptism with the same meaning and the same promises and the same obligations which we have received if we've been baptized as an adult. And the same Old Testament urgings apply to us as parents dealing with our children as those who have become members of the church, non-communicant members, but members nevertheless, and they are not the world, and they are not the world among us, and they aren't to be treated as such. They are God's children. They belong to Jesus. And therefore, just as the Old Testament children belonged in the covenant, had the sign and seal of it, they had commands and promises given to them. And they were to be trained up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. The parents were to see to their discipleship that they knew the Lord. They were called to believe in the Lord. They were called to keep the covenant, and they would be raised being instructed in the word of the Lord and in his worship. They wouldn't be told, you're a little Philistine living here in my covenant household, and someday we're going to circumcise your heart. But today, you little Philistine, we're going to deal with you however we have to until you become a member of the covenant. 'Tisn't so. They would be told, you belong to Yahweh. And that's what we need to teach our children. They belong to Jesus. They don't belong to the world. And it doesn't take a village. It takes a family, a father and a mother, and supporting them, a community of faith. Our children don't belong to the state. Our children aren't to be understood as owing the state an obligation as those who are to be socialized and trained by the state until they become good little statists, dependent on the trough that the state fills. Our children are to be raised in the Lord, and since every square inch of creation belongs to the Lord, their minds and their hearts are to be trained to think as Christians in every area of life. And you just heard the parents promise to do that in this baptism. Now, interestingly enough, the Apostle Paul in Ephesians, following in much the same way of what we just read here, to whom is the promise? The promise is to you and to your children. Applies those promises in Ephesians in the way we need to. God has given us promises, but with those promises that belong to the covenant of grace go obligations and commands, a whole approach to family living, for instance. So in Ephesians, when we're called to be people of love, imitators of God, people who walk in the light, aren't partners with darkness, there are various groups that are addressed by the Apostle Paul so that they can conduct their discipleship in a particular way. Wives, submit to your own husbands. Are wives disciples that are being addressed here? They are, aren't they? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Husbands are being addressed as disciples. And then, a little later, in chapter 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. To be in Christ is to be incorporated into him. To be in Christ is to be part of the body of Christ. Paul wrote to the Corinthians and said, your children are holy, in chapter 7. What does it mean if someone is holy? They're consecrated to the Lord. Fathers and husbands are being addressed. Fathers, don't provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. to whom the promise belongs, the sign belongs. And to those whom the sign belongs, instruction and discipleship in the Lord belongs. And therefore, children are told, as disciples, as those in the church, as those who have received the same one baptism as we've received, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. It was, by the way, the commandments given as the fundamental statement of the covenant. I will be your God, you will be my people. And here, this is the way you're supposed to live. Why would you tell a child to live that way? Under your authority, so that it was to be understood as in the Lord, if it wasn't in the covenant. And those who receive the promise of the covenant are to receive the sign of it. And those who receive the sign of it are to be discipled according to it. And as children, then, they grow up in the household of faith. And they understand that they are being called to the meaning of their baptism. God has set you apart. You belong to Jesus. I don't care what that family does down the block. I don't care how late at night those kids stay out. I don't care. You're not theirs. You're ours. We belong to Jesus. We follow the Lord. And especially as your instruction and your discipline is not rooted just simply in your own preferences, but understood to be the application of the Word of God, your children will be aware that they are being raised in the care of the covenant God, who is shepherding them through you, and that your authority isn't just rooted in brute force, or that they are descended from you, but it's rooted in the authority of Almighty God that He's given to you to care for them as the children of God in His covenant, a stewardship and an authority that far exceeds your own gruff admonitions. It is the love of God that is being pressed on them for their own good and for their salvation, to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, that they might from their heart wholeheartedly embrace the Lord. So first of all, discipleship begins with baptism. And in the second place, the instruction that children receive belongs to that baptism and is to proceed from it at whatever level they are. And in the third place, they're to be led into a struggle with sin, understanding their own sin, because that's what your baptism has done for you. You remember your baptism. You remember your vows. What does it mean? You're not your own. You belong to your Savior. You're in a struggle with sin. But you've been washed. You aren't what you were. But now you're His. And He's consecrated you to Himself. So we enter our children into this battle with sin. We explain it. We identify it. We discipline them so that they don't. An undisciplined child, an unbridled child, will sin and sin and sin with a sense that it is right for them to sin. It is right for them to say no to mommy and daddy. It's right for them to do whatever they please because that's the human heart. It is fundamentally rebellious. And that rebellion has to be met with the love of Christ to lead them into a struggle with themselves. They need to learn to say to themselves, no, even before you do. And that's the problem with some of you as adults. You were never led to say no to yourself. And you didn't learn the word of God and apply it to your own heart. You lived in rebellion. You lived justifying yourself. You're okay. You're good. And you didn't grow up thinking of yourselves as every covenant child must, as someone who has to not trust their own address of self to whatever they want. But they have to say, what does mom and dad want? What is right? What is good? What is holy? What should I be doing to help? How do I answer to this love? And they shouldn't think of themselves first. And you don't learn that later in life very well if you haven't learned it in the Lord as a child in the covenant. And then, fifthly, we need to lead our children to close with Christ. We need to tell our children that they need to actually address themselves to the Lord who has washed them, and he has signified things to him that they need to acknowledge, and he has sealed to them promises. And they themselves need to understand what the provisions are that are signified and sealed to them in their baptism, and they need to covenant with God to make them all those promises, the promise itself, to make that theirs. And they need to do it consciously. They need to do it in words. That's one reason why we have a covenant of communicant membership. It is a form of covenanting within the covenant of grace in which we personally covenant, Jesus is mine, I am his, and I repent, and I give to you myself, Lord God, and I follow you in the way I should go. And I stand here this day before this assembly, and I publicly confess Jesus as mine, and I am his. And I accept the terms of your covenant and the provision of a mediator and the person of my Lord. And I surrender to him. And I'm not my own now. I don't belong to me. A time has to come when our children are led into a closing of the covenant and they are able to say, I am not my own. And you as parents have that duty. Otherwise, things go on vaguely in life. They hear sermons from the pastor. They go to young people's groups. They do various things. But the claims of God on them and on their hearts are never pressed. And they're not pressed in terms of the covenant that God has made with us for the promise is to us and to our children. It's your responsibility, and especially yours, fathers, that you press this upon your children. We're not forcing them. We're not propagandizing them. We have been given the vast riches, unspeakable blessings in Jesus Christ, the way of life, the covenant of grace, and we're sharing these things with our children so that they live. When they're sick, we take them to the doctor because we're good parents. We don't give them the option, should they have this shot or not. Would you like to take that pill, honey? We don't do that. You must. And you, when you stand and promise these things, are promising what then your children will have to be led to, disciplined into, but finally addressed. Here, have you closed with Jesus? Have you accepted from the Father his provision? Have you determined in your heart? Have you pledged that to God in covenant with him? We daresn't leave it up to the drizzle of the years as they flow out and just say, well, someday. The years come and the years go, and they just wash. And then children grow up and they move away and they've never closed with Christ and they go their own way. Look around and witness it. Let us cease to lose generation after generation after generation of children. And that begins in your home today. And the rest of us have promised to support and help these parents in that effort. And we need to make every effort ourselves in whatever way we can, certainly explicitly praying for every single child in the church and helping in Bible classes, in Kids Quest, in youth group, in whatever ways we can to help these parents because of the baptism that we've witnessed today. The promise is to you and to your children and to all those who are far off, whom the Lord our God will call. Those to whom the promise belongs, the sign and seal belongs. To those whom the sign and seal belongs, discipleship belongs in the church, in the Lord. One baptism with one promise. The promise is for our children. That same baptism is for our children. That same discipleship is to be begun in our children. And it's our grave and solemn responsibility before our gracious covenant God. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for dealing with us in your mercy. in our Lord Jesus and giving us such great and precious promises as those upon which we may rely. Help us to fulfill our duties as parents and fellow believers, saints together in the household of faith. Help us to fulfill our duties, to fulfill those duties that belong to our calling as those who are in the covenant. And grant to our children faith and repentance and all to which their baptism calls them. And grant, O Lord, those promises that you have assigned and sealed to them. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.